This is Rock the Flock. Rock the Flock is a pre-recorded message by Pastor Tim Dodson of Jesus Fellowship of Believers in Menominee, Wisconsin. Join us as we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through God's Word.
I'd like to take this morning to do something a little different. You'll bear with me. You're thinking, oh no, last time. No, this is good. I would like the opportunity to give a bit of, a State of the Church address. Heard a State of the Union address, State of the State address. I'm going to give a State of the Church address. All right? The reason being is certainly we're at a point, church is getting bigger, lots of new faces all the time. And there are situations often that we realize in leadership that a lot of people don't really know what we're doing and where we're going and where we've been. So we want to give an opportunity just to kind of bring you up to speed today, being the last Sunday of the year, and so that we're all on the same page, sharing the same vision. Let's take a minute and pray. Father, as we now pull together here as your family, and even though we have an unusual service this morning, we just would ask that you would be here just the same. For what we are discussing here today, it's all about you, because you get the glory for it all. No one is more surprised to find us here than me. It's been a long journey. We want to stop for a moment and acknowledge that, to put up the memorial, if you will, Lord, to put all the rocks together in a big pile and say, I remember when we were here. Thank you for all that you've allowed us to go through. Amen. First, a little bit of history. If you know the story, bear with me. If you don't, give you an idea of where we've come from here. This church, Jesus Fellowship of Believers, started physically in 1989, Pastor Dave Gonzalez began this fellowship, as you know it today, down the street here on Main, in his living room. After about a year of that, he moved to the Best Western Hotel up on the north side. As this journey began for all of us, it certainly was a wild and crazy time for sure. But for those of us that lived through those years, and there's still a few of us around, it was an adventure that we wouldn't trade for the world. I don't want to ever do it again, but it was an adventure, to say the least. The church at that time, when we began, was known as Hosanna Chapel. Pastor Dave had come out from California to the Midwest here out of Hosanna Chapel, Bellflower, and a fairly large Calvary Chapel out in California. And so he came out because his wife, who has since passed away, was from here, from Connersville, from Boyceville area. So kind of scary, right? And so he moved out here and began. Now, if you've never met Dave, Dave is a really big Hispanic L.A. guy. I mean, I don't know what he was doing here, fish out of water. But he certainly is like no one that we've ever known, certainly that I've never known. He's still my pastor. I still think of him in those terms. When the church moved to the Best Western on the north side was when I came there. It was interesting because they thought they had enough people to move out of the house, and the very first Sunday they moved there, half the people left the church. So, yeah, some people, you say they're going to be there, but they're not. So I came in and during those days, and praise music was a boombox with a tape in it, and there was about eight of us there that Sunday. Certainly at that time when I came to the church, I was disenfranchised, to say the least. Certainly, though I'd been a Christian for many years, I was an immature believer, and I had failed to grow up until that time. Over the next few years, the church moved from Best Western to my old restaurant there at the corner of Main and Broadway, where Acoustic is now, and we were in several storefronts down Main Street through the years. Over that period of time, you know, a lot of folks came and went. A few stayed, and those few were the beginnings of this fellowship that we call home today. Again, no one would argue that without Dave, I don't know that we would be here. I'm not trying to take anything out of the Lord's hands, but Dave was called here to be instrumental in beginning this fellowship, certainly to mature me and to grow me up. There's no way when I first came here I could even be remotely close to being prepared to pastor a church. And while it was not God's ultimate destiny for Dave to be here long term, he was indeed instrumental to the birth of this fellowship. If you haven't met him, God willing, if nothing goes wrong, he will be out here in the spring as he and Don McClure will be our guest speakers at our spring Disciples Conference. So you get a chance to meet him. It'll explain a lot of things. All the pieces will fall together and you go, oh, now I see. In 1996, I believe it was, that God did a miraculous thing for us, and it was only one of many that we've experienced through the years, but it was the giving of this building to our church. You have to understand that we used to literally drive around the block by this church and we'd laugh. Can you imagine us in that church? We'd literally laugh. We thought it was ridiculous, and I think that probably got God's attention. And he thought, well, okay, I'll show you. I'll blow your mind and put you in that church. And even though we didn't have any money, we only had a very few faithful folks to back up such a move, God had a plan. And I can still remember that day as clear as can be. Like it was yesterday, the sanctuary wasn't carpeted, it was linoleum, and there were no pews, and I believe these walls were like a lime green, and the back was a 70s pink. We were tempted to leave it that color for a few seconds, and then that had to go, you know. So we've come a long ways. They had one furnace with one header. It didn't go anywhere in the whole building. We've come a long ways in that time, and God has totally blessed us with this building. It's already well over half paid, all the interest, so just in a very few years, the church here will be paid for, which is nice. I'd like you to take your Bibles, and I'd like you to turn to Acts 2:42, if you would, please. From the very beginning of this fellowship, as the keys were placed in my hand and I became senior pastor of this fellowship, I had sought God what he wanted me to do and the direction he wanted me to pursue with this fellowship. And this was the passage he gave me from the very beginning, and it has been our vision, it has been our primary text since we began, and it is out on the cornerstone of this building. Passage goes, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and their goods, divided them among them all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now this passage that I've read here is a passage that reflects the dynamic of the early church of the book of Acts. And thus it also reflects very well upon us and our direction here at Jesus Fellowship. These days, the larger church of God, I'm afraid, has adopted what could only be called a commercial mentality towards church planting. We see that there's an ideal that is laid out there that everyone seems to want to emulate, and that is to make the people just as comfortable as possible, as comfortable as if they were at the movies. The only thing missing is the popcorn, and if they figure that out, they'll have that out there too. My wife would vote for that. And this thinking, while on the surface may seem harmless, that kind of comfortable thinking permeates the style, the delivery, the context, and the scriptural text of these churches. So they attract attendees, which through what I could only call a careful recipe of teaching, that I would compare to that easy listening stuff you hear in elevators. It's easily digestible and quickly forgotten. The wider church in America, I'm afraid today, has turned wholly inward. They exist, for the most part, to perpetuate itself on the local level. So widely absent is that bold heart that we read here in the book of Acts of the early church. Widely gone is that spirit of missions outreach, that spirit of discipleship, service unto the Lord and His kingdom, that brotherhood of the saints that we feel so strongly coming from this passage in Acts. And what did we get in exchange? Well, we got flashy programs, state-of-the-art sound systems, professional and secular child care, music teams that are geared more towards entertainment than leading praise unto our Creator. Comfortable seating, I'm afraid, has replaced 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out, teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do." Now, I want you to notice this passage that I read here. It begins with the term, "and they continued." They continued. Well, you know, 1989, 1990, 17, 18 years ago. I mean, we read this, it says, "they continued." And right off the bat, they just kind of drive home that point. I mean, guys, it doesn't matter if we can kind of someday look back, and maybe today, look back at days gone by, look back at the old times when God actually did, or we actually did the work of God, because, you know, we were young, we were idealistic, and really we were just too poor to have theater seating. Everybody can look back and say that. The lives of these individuals in the book of Acts in the early church, there was a daily manifestation of God's presence among them every day, not just on Sundays. They attended church together. They fellowshiped together. They praised God together. And they did all this with a joy that being believers brings to a group of individuals, joy. Because of this church, or because of these things, this church that we read here, it grew. Throughout the years, I've had many people ask why this church has grown. Well, the A answer would be, I don't know. Certainly, we've broken every rule and given every reason why it shouldn't have. And we can look at God and say, well, God meant it to be. But if we played any role at all, it is because we have held to Acts 2:42 and through 47. We've kept it simple, and we've kept God in the center. That's why this church grew. It didn't have anything to do with demographics. I certainly wouldn't have, you know, done this great study and went, Menominee, Wisconsin, that's the town. Yes, sir, Menominee, Wisconsin. There wasn't because any hip new church growth methods. We didn't know them, not then. We look at the world today and the churches that are being planted, and you can clearly see already the cracks in the facade, because these kind of things in which they're trying to build churches on today, they're a quick construction, but it's not one that's going to last. They're fragile. They're temporary. It's a church built on shifting sand. It's the church that is built upon the rock that will stand the test of time. And I want very, very badly for this church to continue long after I'm dead and gone. And I have done everything I can to see to it that it does, and to be ready for that at any time. Salvation, we know, and ultimately church growth is God's doing. Our part is to be obedient, practice love for each other. Continue daily, as this passage says. They continued. They continued, and they continued steadfast. It gives an air of absolute determination on their part to continue steadfast in the Word of God, to continue in fellowship. Again, they ate together, they prayed together, they kept things simple. They kept God in the center of all they did. And the Lord added to the church daily. There has, from the beginning of this fellowship, certain God-ordained priorities that we have kept in the forefront of this ministry. I think we have loathed to change horses in midstream. We've always wanted to remain flexible to what God wanted us to do, but we knew clearly from the very beginning what it was that God wanted out of this church, and we have always sought to pursue such. There is no new direction with this church. It is the same direction from the day we moved into this place. We have sought very hard not to lose track of our special calling. One of the major focuses of this church has been, and God willing will always be, and hopefully even to a greater extent, is that of the missionary heart. We have tried not to get so that we would look inward only. But we've always tried to keep our eyes out there. In Mark 16, Jesus called upon his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that is a mantle that we have taken on ourselves. It's been passed on and we readily accepted it. Missions trips, they certainly have evolved over the years. That's all I can say. I think back at the first ones, and trust me, they are very, very different now than they were in those days. Early on, there was, puppet shows and music outreaches. And now that has been given way to church dedications, church construction, evangelism, baptism in deep tribal areas of India, a mission center, a discipleship classes, a radio station. Things have changed. In the past year, as far as missions are concerned, it has been an eventful year for us. I don't have the numbers yet, but certainly in 2005 I know that this church spent 25% of every dollar that came in on the missions field. 25%. I would imagine that it is at the very least that this year. This was a year in which we finished our mission center in the Philippines. When I say finished, that's a careful term. Because they're just finishing up really what is the second story just last week. Sent me pictures. This past summer we sent the first school of ministry students to live and to minister there. They stayed for just under 3 months. They taught discipleship classes in two different locations. They rebuilt a local family's house. They taught religion classes in the public grade schools. They preached at every opportunity. They worked on finishing touches there on Shofar, our mission center. It was a very, very intensive, busy time. They had some middle-of-the-night, speedy runs to Cebu to save people's lives, minor things like that. It was a crazy time. This past year, 2006, we were granted by the absolute miraculous hand of God, a radio station license in the Philippines for a 1,000-watt FM radio station. Having owned an FM station here, broadcasting out of this fellowship, as well as overseeing two Calvary Satellite Network radio stations, one here in Dunn County and one over near Eau Claire, radio was a natural fit for us. I think God had prepared the way for us. And it was a marvelous trip. That's all I can tell you. I can't begin to go down every incidental step that we took to get there, but we felt like we were riding a giant wave, surfing the whole thing, just holding on for dear life as God just delivered this radio station to us on a silver platter, really. We are currently constructing the physical radio station, the booth radio room has been built on the second floor of Shofar. The interior roughing in has been done. A million dollar view out the radio room window, a spiral staircase that goes down into the kitchen, a shofar, and beautiful blue tile, and it's wonderful. The outside construction still continues as we speak here today. They are shipping a 200-foot commercial radio tower to the site. Our understanding is that it will reach clearly 100 miles in every direction. What we plan to do there is a mind-blowing concept. If we pull this off, we need to write a book. Back in the prayer room, there is a couple of computers, three computers, that are mean, lean fighting machines. I mean, we're talking high memory, high CPU, everything. They're the biggest, baddest, newest machines we could get our hands on. They are identical in every way. One of those computers will go upstairs to run 101.7 in a digital jukebox type format as we've been doing. And two of those will go to shofar to run as an A machine and a B machine. It will switch. If anything happens to the A machine instamatically, it'll just jump right over there to the B machine. These have cart type hard drives. So literally months of programming will be programmed, including the booting, everything, onto the hard drive. That hard drive will be pulled out of this machine here, carried or shipped to the Philippines, put into the machine, booted up, and that hard drive will still think it's in Menominee, Wisconsin, in every way, shape, or form. It will play automatically, all according to preset times, for months, never repeating a song, never repeating a message. We can turn it off and go live if we want to, only to come back, and it'll pick up where it left off, right on the perfect time frame. And power, as it goes off in the Philippines oftentimes, we will have battery backup, we will have generator backup, but if it goes down, when it comes back up again, it will know what time it is and start right exactly there. So whether or not anybody's there or not, it will just keep running. We're putting in satellite DSL with a camera in the radio room, which you will literally from here be able to look at everything that's going on in the radio room. We can even move the camera from here with a mouse. We can go in remote access into those computers and repair, set up, send files if we want to from halfway around the world, reboot the system from here without anybody being in the building. We have Cebuano teachings. We have English teachings, maybe some Tagalog also. Cebuano is the language of that area. Londo is recording all of his services as we speak. We are as excited as we can be to do this. We'll be the first ones in that whole part of the Philippines broadcasting Word for Today with Chuck Smith. Certainly nobody is going to do what we are going to do there. It'll be an exciting day when we flip that switch. We have many people serving here in the radio ministry upstairs that will be working simultaneously on this station and also on that station. The tech involvement from this side will be substantial. Praise God that He sent us the technological geniuses that He has. We got computer geeks and radio geeks and electrical geeks, and we got geeks running out of our ears. Praise God. Because believe me, to make this happen, we need some geeks. And so we're excited about that. In 2006, you need to realize also this past year, our church has established shofar missions, plural, mind you, I'm looking ahead, Shofar Missions Incorporated, a Philippine-based nonprofit corporation, and that corporation will now oversee all future activities of Shofar. It makes it a lot easier, safer, cuts the activities of that ministry away from this one. Lots of legalities there. We have begun a relationship with an ace Filipino attorney, speaks good English, and he's a mover and a shaker. So this guy, I like him. We have chosen and established 3 Filipino board members. We have opened a Filipino bank account corporately under Shofar Missions. The officers of our corporation is Pastor Lando, Calvary Chapel Toledo, who we've worked with for years, Pastor Deo, Calvary Chapel Marikina outside of Manila, and Pastor Danilo, who comes out of Pastor Dave's church. He's Filipino-American, lived in America for years. Dave ordained him, sent him to the Philippines, and we scooped him up when he got off a plane. Now he's ours. So Danilo is an accountant by trade. That was very convenient. He takes care of all of our books and such. So those 3 guys, and each year one American will rotate because you have to be there to sign. So right now, Dan Fries and I are the American officers, and then when we go this spring for our yearly meeting, one of the guys who goes with me, oh, wait a minute, I don't know if we can trust any of those guys. No, one of those guys who go with me will also sign. We'll draw straws. We have begun surveying our land there in the Philippines. It's land may never go surveyed. It's just like any man's guess. And so we couldn't just survey our land. We had to survey what they call the entire mother plot, which was hundreds of hectares. A hectare is roughly 2.5 acres. We own 5 acres, and Calvary Chapel Toledo owns 2.5 acres. We bought it all. This church did, and we gave the 2.5 acres to Toledo to do what they want. But we had to survey everybody's land in order to find our land. And we had to have that land all surveyed in order to actually transfer, get a concrete deed, and get it into the hands of Shofar Incorporated. So, again, our attorney, he's sharp. It's all happening in a few months here. All the land will be under the complete legal control of Shofar Incorporated. So everything's being moved in there. The building, our truck, the radio station, the land, the works will all be under Shofar Incorporated. We're also currently, probably as we speak, building a new house for our caretaker security guard in the Philippines. You don't ever call a cop. You wouldn't want to if you could. I'm afraid to say that the vast majority of them are extremely, extremely crooked, and they probably wouldn't come anyway. So it's every man for himself, so everyone has security guards. So we have a security guard. Beloy is a born-again, how else can I put this? Beloy killed a few people. Okay, he was in prison at one time for murder, for more than one murder. He got out, found Jesus, baptized by Pastor Lando. And I think as long as Beloy's there, we probably aren't going to have anyone mess with our building. Okay? Everyone knows, is what I'm trying to say. Okay? And so he has a fear factor. We're building him a new house because they lived in this bit of a cardboard shack up there. And if a typhoon come up over that mountain, Beloy and house was going bye-bye. So we're actually building him a concrete house and huff and puff and won't be able to blow it down, and the house will stay as our guard's house. And for those of you who have been at Shofar, straight out the front door, right on the edge of the hill contrary to us, where the road goes up towards the other tower. We are going in May of this year on a second team to leave ministry students. If you have children you'd like to have left there, we can get a ticket for them. No, we're taking Travis and Brady, and their wives are the next team, and they will stay for 3 months. Each year we go, everything keeps getting cranked up a notch. These guys are diligently trying to learn Cebuano so that we can keep up with the Latter-day Saints that keep coming up our mountain who speak Cebuano. And so they're trying, so that's a lot of time committed into that. And at that time, we will finish up all the radio station and we will flip the switch and turn it on. So they get to be the ones. And lo and behold, just to show you how God's wonderful hand and timing is in this, this wasn't planned at all. But, I mean, you got to understand that, you know, three of those four are intensely involved in the radio ministry here. Leslie is the programming manager of our station here. Isn't that great how God would send? Jason and Faye are going along to assist me. And speaking of geeks, because I need a geek, my own personal geek, to go with me and to help us program everything and get it up and going. The guys will do what the last team did, and they will do more. They will reach out to the community. They will do construction. They will do public school classes, discipleship classes for the growing faithful there. Everything will be cranked up a notch. Now, future. In the Philippines, the future. As I said, we recently completed the second floor housing. On the second floor housing, there's two large rooms for two large groups. We can split male and female if we want to. And the idea here is we thoroughly expect to start taking larger teams. We thoroughly expect a larger and overt involvement of street level in the future, as I think it seems that perhaps street level is going to start looking in the other direction for missions work, just because of the politics involved in all of this. We want to be able to schedule and take college-age missions teams over each year. And now we have the facility to do it. We have the housing to do it there at Shofar. We hope to, God willing, in the future, to purchase some land down the mountain in Camp 8. It's the nearest town. That's a loose term. I think it was maybe during Korean War or such. They displaced a lot of individuals, moved out of towns because towns would, you know, get blown to pieces. They would move these people and, like, make a new town. So from, you know, Lutopan, where Calvary Chapel Toledo is, to Cebu City, there's these towns that just goes Camp 6, Camp 7, Camp 8, Camp 9. So they just never lost the original name that they had put on it. But we want to buy some land down in the valley there and hopefully build a new Calvary Chapel there. The church building that Londo has right now, the land is always moving there. I found out from Londo this recent time, if any of you guys remember, there's always this little strip of gravel that's not paved out in front of the church, starting up the hill there. The reason why that is because the ground keeps shifting and busting the concrete, so they surrendered and just gave up, left it gravel. And so the church has got some deep cracks in it, and it's probably not going to last forever, and they need more room. And we want them closer to us. So Camp 8 is just down the mountain from Shofar. So if we buy some land there, build a new church there, and these churches are really kind of open air, there's not a lot to these things. We can build it a lot cheaper than we build it so far. And along with that new church, we would build a new parsonage for Pastor Londo and his growing family. And also we would like to build a parochial grade school in which to begin to minister to grade school kids. Christian, the Catholics do it, so we're going to counter and build a Christian one there. And that would involve all of us. There may be times in the future that individuals in this church can sponsor individual children to be able to go to that school that couldn't afford to otherwise. We will probably have to pay teacher salaries. It'll be a place for when we take teams over, they will teach extensively there in that school instead of the public school system. So we get a chance to continue to minister to the same kids every year as they grow up. And so, again, that's all up to God. I would like to, and this is what we're hoping for this year, we would like to begin to set up small tours with a Philippine rock band in which would allow us to go from village to village and on each day moving down the coast, do outdoor concerts with a good Philippines band, and then whatever Americans are with us will preach evangelistically. We will invite to backup discipleship classes, which would follow that, and also we can push our radio station at the same time, which will probably be fairly directed towards the younger people too, as you probably would expect. So we are hoping that that will give us opportunities to reach smaller communities in the Philippines as well as the big ones. I would like to see a cottage industry started up in the mountain in Cabanbanan, which is just this little area that's nearest to us so far, that we could provide jobs for the community so that we can minister to the area in that way also. Probably a sewing business. That seems to be the direction we're going, and of some fashion. Finally, in one day, God willing, if he tarries, we hope to have revolving teams live and minister at Shofar 12 months out of the year. No one necessarily will stay forever, but people would be coming and going out of Shofar all year long. We are in the initial plans of planning a youth team to go over, so that would be the first one we've done also. The other direction is India. Now, India, we have been working for a number of years. We are currently in the process of financing our third church construction in India. Two of them are complete. You've probably seen pictures. The first one was in Vadamajari, Orissa. That's a deep tribal area. The people there speak Kuvi. So if you speak a little Kuvi, be a good thing. You could catch the next trip there. The other one is in Roru, Himachal Pradesh in the north. And that is a very dangerous area. An area of deep religious beliefs, gods and goddesses. It says right on their slogans, Himachal Pradesh, the land of gods and goddesses. And the believers up there go through a lot of persecution. They kind of whooped up on our pastor the other day and threw his motorcycle over a cliff and beat him pretty good, and that's nothing unusual. It's the price of being a Christian there. You see, that's part of the reasons why we're changing how we're doing things, due to the fact that the conditions and the environment in India is so hard that, especially for single women, it has become kind of necessary that we kind of move the school of ministry towards India, street level, more towards the Philippines. They frown very much on us bringing single females. They don't understand why you're there. Even bringing our wives is something very, very unusual. Most American pastors don't bring their wives, wouldn't bring their wives. I insist upon it. Not just my wives, but all the guys who go, because I want them to experience that too. But it's really, really rough and difficult. And our job there is one thing, and that is preaching. Teaching, evangelism, preaching. So, again, there's more to do for street-level people if we go the other direction. In the future, we are going to finish this year the third church in Kanakot, Orissa. We have a team that's scheduled to go there in October with two ministry students and their wives, Pastor Tom and I and our wives, and a couple of up-and-coming male servants here in the church are going, and we will go to Orissa. We will dedicate the third church. This is one of the greatest things we feel that we can do, is to build churches there. It's a great privilege. I mean, to think of Vadamajari, that church, guys, we built that for $5,000. You've seen that church. That's nice. Especially for there, when they just, a couple months ago, got electricity in town. So they're pretty excited about that. And I think it's from that hydro dam that's just up the river, the one that I baptized the people in. So they're generating their own electricity there. But there's still rebels in the area. That's Nexalite territory, so it's not overly safe for anybody, I guess. In the future, our hope is to begin to finance a long-term and large project, and that is to build a regional facility in Jaipur. A couple years ago, when we were heavily leveraged financially in other projects, Pastor Crystal Dan had the opportunity to buy all the land that surrounded his church. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We didn't want it to pass by. And Calvary Chapel Cerritos, Pastor Dave's church, bought the land for them. So Dave has joined us in that also. So all the land has been purchased, but we need a regional center there because the pastors need further training. They need further maturing. It's a way for us to bless the entire region, not just one town. And it fits our passion. Where is our passion? Well, obviously in discipleship. And it would be a place where we would go each time and hold long-term, maybe like, you know, a week of all day long, 7 days a week, intensive discipleship training for the regional pastors of that area to equip them. See, our mentality towards missions is one of native pastors. I can't imagine a time, and I don't want to say I'll never do it, but I can't imagine a time in the future where we will support a Caucasian American pastor in the field full time. It's not our way. I've never been convinced that it is necessary. Our way is to equip the faithful pastors of that country to a greater level, to equip them in training, education, financing, church buildings, that they can do their job better. First of all, I could probably keep 10 pastors, full-time paid Indian pastors, for what one American family would cost. So that's probably not going to happen. And I just don't think it's necessary. I also think it's demeaning to the natives. We can train them to do it. Closer to home, switching from missions, in our missions endeavors, we've not forgot our backyard. I don't want you to think we're so far reaching that we don't look out back. One of our large focus for many years in this church has been the jail ministry. We oversee, I'm the senior chaplain for the Dunn County Jail and the Dunn County Sheriff's Department. And within this fellowship, there are 50 ministry volunteers. Out of this fellowship alone, we hold chapels, discipleship classes, one-to-one mentoring relationships, addiction classes, art classes, anything we possibly can to open the door to give us a chance to minister and everyone to use their abilities. We provide Bibles, videos, video players, library books, counseling. Thousands of dollars of your tithes and offerings go to minister in the Dunn County Jail every year, and that's not going to stop. Follow up on the outside. We do everything we can. There is free church house living arrangements for the bright, shining stars of the bunch, continuing addictions classes that are available here in the church and also to anyone in the community. We follow up on every single individual who will give us their outside address once they get out. Our training has advanced to the point that we have been recognized by the state inspector, and now we have begun to do training outside of our immediate group to other jail chaplaincies in other counties. Our own ministry here has expanded into Pierce County, Winona County, Minnesota, and Red Wing State Prison for Boys, which we play a major role down in that prison and have for quite some time. Our video services, our services are on video, and they're played every week about this time in the Pepin County Jail. So they're joining us just a couple weeks behind. As I said, we are currently the Dunn County Sheriff's Department chaplains, too. That requires just a few of us, and it's extremely intensive ministry. You ride with the sheriffs, do death notifications. It's by far the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. That's why I do it. It makes me depend on Jesus, and so maybe I do it just for me. I don't know, but it's another way for us to minister, and we continue to do that. Future. In those ministries, we have opened up the doors of our training to other chaplains groups in western Wisconsin. And right now we are attempting to push through another crazy geek idea we have. And for those of you that know what a sling box is, it involves a sling box if you don't know what I'm talking about. We stream our services live over the internet every Sunday. This little camera is right here. So right now it's live over the internet. We are going to take that signal, God willing, pump it through the internet to be picked up in the Dunn County Jail, grabbed by something called a sling box, thrown into their video system to present this service live in the pods every Sunday at this time. Pray for that. There's bridges to cross in politics. Yay. You know how much I love that. Here in the church, guys, we are currently holding many different activities. We currently have an addictions class, as I've already mentioned, every week. Adam Nuago heads that up here in the church. Nancy and Tim Sutliff head up the one in the jail. We have weekly School of Discipleship classes before churches on Sundays. Around 50 individuals are currently in those classes. We simultaneously run School of Ministry classes and New Believers classes all at the same time every Sunday morning in here. We began in this last year in an effort to keep this close fellowship that we have enjoyed in the past. We have begun many small close fellowship groups, singles groups, young adults group, the Nehemiah Fellowship. These are to complement the already active street-level ministries in the youth group that we have here, the women's Bible study that has already been going on here. We have pushed our home fellowship Bible studies up to every other month, first Wednesday of every other month. And that goal is to kind of keep that unique fellowship that can only go on in a small group, but also meet the needs of each unique and individual group. I cannot do that myself in a large group, so we've designed these small groups, and there is really no reason today that each and every individual in this church cannot find a place to fellowship, small or large group, and a place to serve, because it has been designed, cradle to the grave. We've got you covered. The church house, if you don't know where that is, just down a half a block and, two blocks to the south. It is another church built in the 1800s that we have purchased and rehabbed, and it is a communal living house, and it's doing what it was designed to do, and it's doing it very well, and that's to nurture and to foster young believers in this kind of communal facility. How many live in there? 14 right now. It has 4 bathrooms, 2 kitchens, and probably a lot of noise. And so, did you take that Christmas tree down yet? No, just chainsaw. Aaron? No, never. It's designed to kind of create an atmosphere of nurturing and growth for these young believers. It's to provide this positive peer group also for those who are getting out of jail to live there. The building, we've roofed it, we've painted it, we've insulated it, we've done extensive remodeling inside, new carpet, new doors, blah, 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 blah. And if you haven't been down there, you should go take a look. It is already 2.5 times its was original assessed value, so I guess we've done okay with that place. Should we do it again? No, I'm only kidding. They're after me about doing it again. The coffee house downstairs, if you've been down there, continues to be utilized to the greatest degree, probably the focal center point of this fellowship, ironically. It serves as a community outreach. It serves as a meeting facility for in the church here. It is operated by street level, primarily, though many people from this church serve there. And it is geared towards outreach and to ministry pursuits by street level. Any profits that may be generated from there go to Yeshua Palooza, our yearly outreach concert extravaganza, and also ultimately then to the missions work that street level does every year overseas. And you know what? We really owe a great thanks to everybody that works there. I mean, that is one place in this church we take very much for granted. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to do without it. I mean, we take for granted that there'll be food down there after services and coffee and good bakery and all the rest. And so realize that it is operated in order to minister to the immediate and minister in the long run also. This past year, we bought a new espresso machine. Your pastor bought the new espresso machine. That was a scary thing. I came all the way from New York, and it's a new used machine for us. And the other one was tired. It was tired when I bought it 15, 16 years ago. But what we did is we took it apart in-house, rebuilt the entire thing, and now that machine is in a mobile espresso coffee house unit that was built by Street Level this past year and was taken for the first time down to Cornerstone Christian Rockfest, and the Blind Munchies served coffee, and all the profits from there went into the missions work. They're going to do that again this year, so they have their own espresso machine, and it's mobile now, and so it really worked out to be a great thing. The church house, the church building itself, is old. We've come a long ways. We haven't fixed everything. I think as I was coming down the stairs, somebody was running to find Dan Freeze because the roof and the radio room was leaking again from the rain. So one of the projects that is coming this summer is we are going to re-roof this church like we re-roofed the church house. I can tell Rich is excited. We pretty much waited as long as we could. We kept hoping that the rapture would come and we could leave them with a leaky church. That'd teach them. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So we're going to have to re-roof the church this summer. And you know what? We have people missing today because of the holidays. And take a look around. We're getting pretty full. Maybe it won't happen fast. But sooner or later, we're going to have to look at the possibility of expanding. I'm really reluctant to do that. We need to do so very carefully to make sure that if we do, we don't get distracted by building projects. I see churches do that, and we're not moving. I shouldn't even say that. God willing, we're not moving. That'll be with Senior Pastor Tom after I'm dead. We want to be downtown. We're a downtown church, and we're not interested in moving out to the burbs. We can't tear it down and rebuild because you don't have the offset from the street. So if this puppy burns down, it's a parking lot. So pray that it don't. Our heart's desire, and you can pray for this one, is we want the funeral home. Okay? I've talked with him several times already about it, so we're kind of waiting each other out. We said, if you ever sell, we'd really like to have first dibs. And he goes, really? Well, if you ever sell, we'd really like to have first dibs. So it's just who can serve. I keep telling him, it's really crowded down here. You can move out of the edge of town. There's a lot more parking. You wouldn't have all that problems, and I know a guy would take this property off your hands. It's perfect for us. We'd put a breezeway through right across, and all the church offices would be over there, and the coffee house would be over there, and it's already, got all the electricity and freezer space we need, and oh, come on, you all were thinking it. So anyway, you can pray towards that, because if that don't happen and we got to move somewhere, it's that way. Which the sanctuary is pointed the wrong direction, everything's backwards. I don't know, I have any idea what any of this would cost. Maybe the Lord will come first. I don't know. But I'm giving you the vision here, kids, okay? So, up until that time, Nehemiah Ministry is the point around here, and we greatly appreciate all of the efforts. Dan Freeze heads up that ministry, and he keeps up these two buildings very well. But everybody in this church is being called upon to assist with that. Every month, or nearly every month, we have prayer breakfast work days in which everyone can take part in the needs of this building. So please take part in that. It's good for fellowship. It's good for service. It's a good opportunity to put your efforts into keeping the church up. The radio station we've already mentioned. Past year we've took the radio station remote broadcast several times. That's something new. We want to do that more and more. The video services that are being filmed here in the sanctuary are rendered into a professional type setup and are broadcast every Sunday morning. 10 o'clock? Huh? 10:30 on Sunday mornings. on cable. It has had an enormous response. Some we probably won't find out till we get to the eternal realm. I didn't realize that many people watched those public access cable TV shows, but I guess they do. So we're going to keep doing that. Outreach churches in this fellowship in the past have always been an important thing. It's going to continue to be even a more important thing in 2007. Right now, we are attempting to plant churches in Winona, Minnesota, New Richmond, Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and Ellsworth, Wisconsin. And we're going to keep on fighting there. If God opens a door and lets us plant a church, we're going to give it everything we got. If not, we're going to run Bible studies there until he tells us to stop doing it. But we want to build new churches. We have the pastors to go and do it. We have done a lot of little things this year that are not little to me. You know, on Wednesday nights, we have a completely separate second praise team. I wanted to nurture the talents that we have in the church, but I also want to perhaps have a music team that we can loan to other Calvaries, whether they be the ones that we are planting, to loan to them on an occasional basis, to even Chick, as we've exchanged pulpits, him and I. We can maybe change music teams and such. So we're hoping to nurture both of these music teams to play important parts within the fellowship here. The office work upstairs has continued to work. I don't know if you realize that we have republished many books that are out of print that we consider to be exceptional and can no longer be found, no longer purchased. We literally typed the entire book and then remade it again. Because we wanted to have them and they were simply gone. The office level work is growing very, very fast. If you have the abilities to type, write, edit, do office work, more and more Becky has a list of things which she will turn over to you if you can just maybe talk with her sometime about coming and serving on that level. As that area continues to grow, I think we pretty much reached a maximum load here. We're kind of at the threshold, I think. We need to add more volunteer staff, and ultimately we're going to have to consider adding more paid staff. And we hold off on that as long as we can. But if it wasn't for technology in this church, we couldn't get done half of what we do do. Street Level Ministries continues to reach out to University of Wisconsin. Stout is an official campus organization. They are publishing and have been publishing a publication that's geared towards college age called Word on the Street. It's for evangelism, it's for promotion, it's for discipleship. The church is also sending out hundreds of free audio CDs every month to random addresses throughout the county. Just, you know, you pray and you throw a dart. And we send them out for no other reason than in order to further minister to seek the lost and the disenfranchised. They're out there. I just need to let them know that we're here. We, as I've already mentioned, have CSN radio station here. That is a Calvary Satellite Network download. We don't program it, but we do make sure it keeps running. And on both of those stations, Eau Claire and here, we run heavy infomercials all day, every day, to promote church here, to promote the addictions class, to promote Street Level, to promote the Bible studies, to let people know that that's happening. We've even gone so far as to begin, several times now we've done this, we get our hands on fixer-up cars within the church. They're rehabbed, and we turn them over again to people within the church who have needs for them and maybe need to pay payments and can't afford to buy them. We'll oftentimes finance a car like that. Again, it gives people in the church who have that ability to use it for the kingdom. Let's see. Nearly at the end here, we, as a church, hold many, many retreats every year. That is a ministry that continues to grow, too. The church leadership does one. School of Ministry does two. Street Level does a couple. The youth do them. This year, retreats for the new couples ministry and the singles ministry are going on. Nehemiah ministry probably won't be too far behind. As I said, there's a small group ministry and fellowship for anyone in the church, if you're so desirous. The School of Discipleship here in the church hosts a yearly conference, which also has been growing, and it is being held again this year at Whitewater State Park over across the border in Minnesota, down by Rochester. And Don McClure, you know, Don McClure is just one of the greatest guys in the whole Calvary movement. He's one of the original boys, right up there with Mike McIntosh, Greg Laurie, and all the rest. So he's a good man to know, and then Dave will be there also. Just so you know, we do everything we can to hold down the cost of those conferences. Most conferences that we get, excuse me, flyers from other Calvaries inviting you to, they can run $150, $200 a piece. So I don't know how popular that would be in this fellowship. So we try very hard to keep the cost down. This summer we also will have, I don't know, must be our seventh camp out. I've lost count now. We've always held them at Myron Park. That probably will be there this year, but we'll see. And it's a great time. We just hang out, fellowship, eat too much, canoe and raft and swim and eat too much. And then play volleyball, and then eat too much. And that's our yearly baptism, too. We baptize in the river there, and I've had the privilege of being able to baptize many of you there. We hope one day that we will get our own grounds and we'll put all this together in one place and stop giving money out to every retreat center in western Wisconsin. But that's what we're hoping for. Something else for Dan to do. Because he sometimes just gets really bored. He doesn't have anything to do with. I'm sure that I didn't cover everything here today. Many of you know all this stuff, but some of you don't. And I thank you for both of you to bear with me. I think it's important for all of us to be on the same page. It does very little good for this to be running around in your pastor's brain and for all of you not to know this. I do this because I want you to understand that Jesus Fellowship of Believers is far, 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 far more than sitting in a pew on Sunday morning. We are multifaceted ministry. Church services on Sunday is but one small part of that ministry. And we are trying in every way that we can to reach a lost and dying world. And 2006 has been a grand year. I don't know if we've ever had one quite as crazy and fun and hard as 2006. If you've been here, you know that we've had our heartbreaks, we've had our trials, we've had our difficulties, and we've had our tribulation. But you know what? Today, tonight, there are far more souls in the kingdom of God than there was this time last year. Some of those souls are here today with us. Some of you have grown up here at Jesus Fellowship. You found the Lord. You came in and God just threw you back on the spinning wheel, busted you down and spun you again and made you into a whole new creation. And now, instead of being ministered to, many of you minister. We've learned to serve together here. We've learned to minister together. We've learned to fellowship. We're a family. And we've grown to that state. Now, I don't make any apologies for, and I do warn all of us today, that Satan is not going to surrender. He's not going to give up. He's going to continue his attacks on us. He has, and he always will. He's going to attack our marriages. He's going to attack our families. He's going to prey upon our emotions. He's going to prey upon our fleshly egos. Anything he can do to try to stop the ministry of this fellowship. See, people, I don't know, and this may sound like a doting father, but we're a dangerous church. Amen? I just pray that we stay a dangerous church, that we take it to the streets and get out there in every opportunity we can, but we got to remain diligent, continue, steadfast. Continue steadfast. We have been, from the onset of this church, we have been unashamedly an aggressive ministry. That's not going to change in 2007. We have, as I said, always reached out to the street. And frankly, there are many of you here tonight, including this pastor, that if it wasn't for this church, one would wonder if we would have a spiritual home. And so we need to continue to reach out to that same world. That means that we are going to have problems we'll have to work through. We will need a lot of loving patience in 2007. And I will continue in every way possible to light a fire under every lethargic believer, warm and appeal. That's also not going to stop. You're thinking, ah. So you really get two choices in this church. Sooner or later, you get up and do something, or sooner or later, you get up and move on. This really isn't a church that's easy for you to sit. A lot of churches around where you can sit in a pew and nobody will care, but this isn't one of them. Most of all, gang, we're going to continue to love the Lord. And we aim to prove it. So as we step out of 2006, never to go back, I look back over the year and, wow, what a ride. It's too bad you're all getting older and I'm not, but what a ride. I'm proud of you all. I love this fellowship. I have no intention, in case you're waiting around, to leave this fellowship and go on anywhere else. There's only one far-reaching job that I would leave this fellowship for, and that is to be the missions director for this fellowship. So let's get that big, okay? Because that's how I'd like to spend my old years. Just traveling around the world, spending your money on missions. Wouldn't that just be the greatest job in all the world? That would just be great. So you can make your pastor happy. That's how I want to retire. Traveling around the world at 100 miles an hour and just minister, 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 preach, preach, preach. I'll come back once in a while and preach from the pulpit, tell you how everything's going, pick up some more money and go back out there again. So, but beyond that, I'm here and I'm excited. Like I say, I'm proud of you guys. We've come a long ways from 6-7 people in a hotel conference room with a boombox. Come a long ways even from some of the photos in your newsletter this month, a bunch of us standing out in front of the last storefront. I mean, most people, you know, kind of build, you know, they get, you know, a bicycle and a nice bike and then a motorcycle and then a Volkswagen. And we went right from a trike to a Cadillac from leaving that old storefront and coming in here. And God is with this ministry. And He has done profound things here. And you, so many of you have been a living part of that fellowship. And you know that God brought you here. It was His ordained plan. If you're a guest here today, you're welcome to be with us anytime. There's no membership here. Come and go as you please. We're just a weird, strange, eclectic family of believers who really love the Lord. Maybe this time next year we'll still be here. And maybe the Lord will have come back for us. But I want to finish well. I want to go out fighting, swinging all the way. Not with a whimper, but with a bang. Let's all stand and pray to that account.
This will conclude this message of Rock the Flock. Rock the Flock is a pre-recorded message by Pastor Tim Dodson at Jesus Fellowship of Believers in Menominee, Wisconsin. Join us as we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter through God's Word. Join us next time on Rock the Flock.